Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight and around this very important issue that we'll be looking at. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful Word, which is perfect and sure to us and able to build up us in our faith. And Lord, we ask that tonight you speak to us and show us clearly from your Word some very important things for us to know. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the interesting subject, and we're touching on two areas. One is the area of modern versions, and the other is the area of healing. And so it's one of those type of sermons that is a bit mixed. So the question is, are modern versions correct about Paul's thorn in the flesh? Now, we have to understand this church has made a stand to reject modern versions. Okay, that means we accept one version, one Bible, as the true Bible, which is the King James Bible, and there's much evidence for that. We've seen that over the last few months and years, evidence for that, and there's much that you can get to read up about that. But one thing that I often hear from people, whether it be in writing or directly to me, is, oh, well, all the versions make up the Word of God. It doesn't matter which one you have. And you see, that type of view is an evidence that something has invaded the churches of today. And we'll see why in just a minute. One important principle to understand about this whole area is that opposites are not the same. If one version is saying the opposite to another version, how can that be the same? How can both be the Word of God? We're going to have a look at a couple of examples of that in a minute. But I want you to get into your mind very clearly so that if people do talk to you about this issue, you're not afraid about it. All the evidence is on the King James Bible's side. But that you say opposites is not the same. That which is different is not the same. So if the New International Version is different from the King James Bible, they're not the same. And that's very important for us to understand. There's no use them saying, well, they're all the same Word of God, but if one's different from another, it's not the same. Let's have a look at a couple of examples, and you will see clearly they're not the same. And once you see that they're not the same, then we can go into a little bit of detail about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Because what Paul's thorn in the flesh does, the King James Bible is very clear what Paul's thorn in the flesh is about, but modern versions introduce what is known as private interpretation or interpretations of modernists. Opposites are not the same. Let's have a look at this example, the first example at the top here. This first example, I'll read through it. First example, Isaiah 9, verse 3. Isaiah 9, verse 3, from the King James Bible. Well, let's read it out clearly. You don't have to turn because it's on the overhead. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. That's in Isaiah 9, verse 3, the King James Bible. That's the Bible we hold to. Now look at the one that comes from the New International Version. And let's read through what that says. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. And what do you notice about these two renditions? One, the King James Bible says, not increase the joy. The New International Version, which is used by many people claiming to be Christian, says, and increase their joy. It's saying exactly the opposite. Now, we have to be very clear in this area. One is wrong. Is it the King James Bible that's wrong? Or is it the New International Version that's wrong? One is wrong. They can't both be right. And this is important for us to understand. And clearly this issue points to the fact that something has invaded the churches. Because for many years, right into the 1900s, the only version that was used amongst Protestant churches was the King James Bible. Now, if you go into various churches, you'll find all types of versions being used, and it's a great tragedy because it undermines the foundation of faith. So when you see this type of thing, and it might be good for you to remember Isaiah 9 verse 3, so that you can point this out to people. If you see these two things, they're not the same, and the principle is opposites are not the same. So one is true and one is not true. Now, of course, we hold to the King James Bible as being true, so therefore this one must be not true. Let's have a look at the second example. The first verse there is from the King James Bible, King James Version. And it comes from 1 Samuel 6, verse 19. And it says, "And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,010 men. And the people lamented, because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter." So you can see the King James Version is saying that 50,010 men. So 50,070 men were slain. 50,070 men were slain. And then we look here in the New International Version, "But God struck down," this is from 1 Samuel 6:19, the exact same place that they say is in the Bible. And it says, according to the New International Version, "But God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death, because they looked into the ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them." Now, we've got to be honest here. There's something dreadfully wrong when one says 50,070 men and the other says 70. One has to be wrong. They can't be the same. So it's no use people coming to us and saying, "Well, all the versions are correct. They're all the Word of God." That makes no sense whatsoever. And what we have here is that they're saying two different things. One is saying 50,000 plus, another is saying 70. Now, there's a tremendous difference. Now, we could go through many, many examples exactly like that. But I wanted to illustrate that because when we come into this modern version area, we come into an area which is very, very clearly an area where apostasy has come into the churches. Error has come in. And we make no bones about that. It's very clear that something has happened. If you look at 2 Peter 1 verse 20, now we know the King James Bible is a literal translation of the originals. In fact, we hold that the King James Bible we have today, the pure Cambridge edition, is the originals in English. So you don't have to learn Greek or Hebrew. You basically have exactly what the originals say in English for you. So all you have to do is master English and understand what the King James Bible is saying. And of course the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. You can't be converted one day, a new Christian come into the church and suddenly they know everything about the Bible. No, the Bible is clearly a book that has to be studied, and that's why God puts into the church ministers and teachers and pastors and so on to help in the teaching and the building up of the people. Now, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And what do we notice here? Something that's very, very important in this whole area. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Now, there is a biblical principle, which is to compare line upon line, Scripture upon Scripture, to compare them and to have the witness of Scripture agreeing. So if we have a doctrine that comes out of the Bible, then we should be able to look right through the Bible and see that there are other verses which confirm that doctrine. You know, there's many, like the doctrine that Jesus died for man's sins and is risen from the dead. There's many scriptures that you can get which will back up each other. And so what do we notice here is that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We need a Bible that's exact. We need a Bible that doesn't have error in it. We don't want private interpretation from, a lot of the modernist translators of, say, like the New International Version and others like the New Century Version and so on, they bring their private interpretations and they bring the wrong basis of translation and bring a document which has error in it. Now, you could say that in the New International Version there are, and other modern versions, I'm just using that as an example, you could say that, well, the Word of God is in it. But, you know, I can take a glass of water, pure water, and you only need a drop of poison in it to make it not very good at all, and you wouldn't want to be partaking of that. So it's no use saying, well, you know, the Word of God is in it somewhere, but I'm not sure exactly which. Wouldn't you rather have a Bible which you can say exactly every word matters, every word I can build my life upon, and every word is accurate? So remember, opposites are not the same. Differences are not the same. There's one saying one number, another saying another number. That's not the same, so one has to be wrong, okay, and the other right. Well, obviously the King James Bible is right, and as I said, there's many reasons for that. It comes from the thread of godly tradition. The Bible talks about godly tradition. It comes from the thread of godly tradition. The modern versions have the thread of Catholic tradition coming through and into the present day even now. And this is one of the reasons why we must once again expose the area of Roman Catholicism as well. Let's have a look at, are modern versions correct about Paul's thorn in the flesh? Well, we want to know a little bit about what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. And I went through that background about modern versions so that you'll understand when we point out what the modern versions say about these verses and what the King James Bible, there is a difference. They're not saying the same thing. So we have to say, well, which is correct? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Now, this is Paul, he's written this, and he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And verse 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, you can see just from looking at this without any private interpretation that it's talking about a thorn in the flesh. And let me say up front that that's easily able to be seen from what it says here. What does it say in verse 7? A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So it says it was given to me. Well, it wasn't God that gave him this thorn in the flesh, but it was Satan, as it says there, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And obviously Paul was causing a lot of problems for Satan because of his preaching and so on, and the messenger of Satan was buffeting Paul. And we want to understand what this buffeting was about. What was this buffeting about? What does this term thorn in the flesh mean? Well, let's look at what the scripture says about that. Look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 13. Joshua 23, verse 13. Was this thing called a thorn in the flesh, was it a literal thorn that was in his flesh? Or was it something else? Well, let's have a look at a few scriptures which relate to this. Book of Joshua. And we're looking at verse 23. Sorry, chapter 23, verse 13. Joshua 23, verse 13. And notice what it says here. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And so these nations, which were coming against Israel, were they literal thorns in their eyes, or is this a metaphor saying that they're a real problem? It's a metaphor saying they're a real problem, a real trouble and vexation. Have a look at Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Numbers 33:55 says, "But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell." Notice it uses pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Were they literal pricks in their eyes? Were they literal thorns in their sides? You know, if I said, oh, that person's a pain in the neck, do I literally mean that that person's a pain in the neck, or do I mean that they're a problem, a troublesome or vexatious type of person? Well, it's obviously the latter. So when we're talking about a thorn in the flesh or a thorn in the side, it's what is known as a metaphor, not a literal thing. You know, it's symbolic of something, and we've seen in a couple of scriptures so far, of trouble and vexation. Now, the Israelites, when they came to the land of Canaan, they didn't throw or get rid of the Canaanite nations, and they became a real problem to them. You can read that in the Old Testament for yourself. Let's also look at Judges chapter 2, verse 3, just after the book of Joshua. Judges. Chapter 2, verse 3. So just by looking at the scripture, then we can see that Paul's thorn in the flesh was not a sickness, was not a literal sickness in his body, but was a trouble and vexation that was caused by this messenger of Satan. And we'll look at what some of those troubles were in a minute. Judges chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you." So once again we see the thorns in your sides. So it would have been with Paul, when he talked about thorn in the flesh, and he was a man that knew the Old Testament very well, and they would have understood, anyone reading, and we should understand, that it was that messenger of Satan that came to buffet him and was causing trouble all around him. Let's have a look at some of those troubles that were being caused. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 30. And you'll notice that in this list, there's no list of sickness in it. So what this list is showing is a list of some of the troubles that Paul had come against him in his ministry. And those troubles, Paul attributed to this satanic messenger that was stirring up things and was buffeting. Now, we'll also see that God has given us the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. And this is Paul the Apostle. Notice what he says. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. See, some of those things, or a lot of those things that he went through, did cause infirmities in his body. You imagine being stoned. But praise the Lord, we got through the stoning, but imagine stones hitting you. It caused bruises. And, you know, this is the type of thing that we see Paul went through and suffered greatly. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the Lord showed him that there were things he had to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Now, we see that in none of this was sickness mentioned. And this is important for us to understand that when we look at the modern versions, private interpretation comes into it. So let's have a look. Now, we looked before, the opposites are not the same. We saw in one verse it said, not increase the joy. It's in the King James Bible. And in the New International Version, it says, has increased the joy. Well, let's have a look at some of the... Now, we're not saying that every modern version has it wrong in this, but we're saying that many do. All right, so 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 in the King James Bible, this is the correct Bible. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you can look at that and you can see, well, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Did God give him the thorn in the flesh? It wasn't God, was it? It was the messenger of Satan. So it came from Satan, this messenger, to buffet him. Was that messenger come to help him in the gospel or to try to stop the gospel? Obviously try to stop the gospel. Thorn in the flesh, we saw, was referring to troubles and vexations and things that were coming against him. We saw in the Old Testament it was about talking about nations, evil nations that were coming against Israel. Notice what the modern versions, or some of them, quite a few of them. For example, from the Good News translation says in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7, but to keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the many things I saw, I was given a painful physical ailment which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me and to keep me from being proud. Now, that's saying a very different thing from what we read before. It's saying that he was given a painful physical ailment. It's got nothing to do with thorns in the flesh, as in troubles coming against him. But it's saying that this physical ailment acts as Satan's messenger. It's taken quite away from what we saw there, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. The messenger of Satan was obviously stirring trouble against his ministry. And we saw in 2 Corinthians 11 what some of those troubles were. Also look at the New Century Version. You have to laugh at some of these things.
so that I would not be too proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me. A painful physical problem was given to me. This problem was a messenger from Satan sent to beat me and keep me from being too proud. So what are these modern versions trying to say? They're trying to say that some sort of sickness was given to Paul. Now, what we do know is that if I went and talked to people that don't believe in healing, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Have a guess what they'd say. That was a sickness. That was a sickness. And they'd no doubt go to modern versions to help them come to that. The New International Reader's Version says, I could have become proud of myself because of the amazing and wonderful things God has shown me. So I was given a problem that caused pain in my body. It is a messenger from Satan to make me suffer. Now, what we know, if we just take the literal Bible, King James Bible, we know that the thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And the thorn in the flesh was a metaphor for the problems that was caused by that messenger of Satan. Now, if we go back, and I just want to point this out to you once again, because it's important for us to see this. You might say, well, I'm emphasising it a lot, and I am emphasising it a lot. You know, opposites are not the same, differences are not the same. You cannot say that if one thing is saying one thing that's different from another, that they're the same. You can't say, well, all modern versions make up the modern versions and the King James Bible, they make up the Word of God. It can't be so. Something has happened, people. Something has happened to invade into the churches so that we do have a difference. Now, modern versions really is only a relative... The amount that it's taken over the church is only a relatively new phenomenon. And the example I've given tonight of these examples here and the Paul's thorn in the flesh are just very few examples. We could go through dozens, hundreds of examples exactly like that. And this is a real problem. That's why we stand for one Bible. And you can get many sermons we've preached in the past particularly about this. And so if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, once again, and I just want to finish on this part in 2 Corinthians 12. We've looked from 7 to 10. Now, verse 8, notice what it says, notice what Paul says, for this thing, talking about the messenger of Satan to buffet me, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, these things coming against him did not cause him to stop being victorious. Now, if problems come against us, we don't have to be destroyed because of them. Why? Because God is our fortress. God is our strength. And I want to finish off with Philippians 4. And we'll look at a couple of verses here. Philippians 4, verse 13, first of all, verse 13, because who's the source of our victory? Who's the source of our strength? It's not us. You know, Paul went through lashings. He was beaten, he was lashed, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked and so on. He could have said, well, if I have to go through all this, I give up. But no, what God did was he has given us the provision of victory, the provision of strength.
And yes, Paul went through a lot more suffering than you and I probably will ever go through. But he had the victory, and he sought the Lord about that victory. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, God's provided it. And Philippians 4 verse 13, notice what it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, I don't think any of us will need to go through beatings to stand for the Lord, but I do believe we need to stand for the Lord, and sometimes we may need to go through various troubles in order to stand for the Lord. But let's be people that say, "Lord, I'm going to stand for you even though it may be hard." You know, we've been talking about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And so where does our strength come from? We should say, "Thank you, Lord. You are my strength." Verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Where does our supply come from? Look at verse 19 of that chapter. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So even though Paul had this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan coming to buffet him, God showed him, "My grace is sufficient for you. You know, you may be in a weak condition, but I'll raise you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll supply your need. I'm your rock. I'm your fort." And this is the type of thing we should be looking to the Lord constantly and saying, "Thank you, Lord. You are my provision. You're my strength. Praise the Lord." And I pray that tonight you get more of a understanding about the value of having a pure Bible that you can rest on for every word in it. Because there's a lot of people that are on a very shaky foundation. And it's a sad thing. And this church will stand for one pure Bible, and it will continue to stand for that. Praise the Lord. So be encouraged by that. You won't come in here one day and suddenly find modernist versions being preached from. It just won't happen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for what you provided in through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for the victory that we have, and that you always cause us to triumph through Christ. And Father, we ask that you help us to be people that are witnesses, be people that will stand for you, be people that will, even if there are troubles come against us, stand in your strength and appropriate your victory.